All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Thursday, September 1st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are going to talk a little bit of MLB for this very, very short slate on Thursday. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Want to help you get started, help you keep winning with FanDuel and DraftKings. Right now, Major League Baseball, NFL, about 9 days away, or excuse me, 7 days away for the next Thursday. Really, really excited about that. If you go to DFSR.com/lab, L-A-B, you can get a free trial that's going to take you all the way through that Thursday game and the Sunday games 10 days away. That will help you cash for FanDuel and DraftKings. You get optimal lineups, and you also get access to our brand new player lab, which helps you run a ton of different filters for different criteria that you might want to see in your cash or GPP lineups. Head over there, free for 10 days, and then it's a $29.95 a month after that. Nailed it, buddy. Thursday.
Crushed it, dude.
I totally crushed it. Thursday, there are I couldn't even believe it. I thought the schedule was wrong when I saw this. There's four total baseball games today, with one being at 12 o'clock, which I'm not even sure we need to address. It's an all-day slate. So it really kind of boils down to three games this evening. And I don't know. I feel like we're either have a really long podcast where we can talk about this, or we can just wrap this bad boy up in about 5 minutes. What do you think?
I've got stuff to talk about.
Nice.
I'm ready to go. A couple things. Well, first, proud to introduce a new sponsor to the DFSR podcast. That's right, dude. If you didn't think that we were super, super official, well, now we are. People are paying us actual money to talk about their sites on our podcast. So
that's,
there you go.
That's news to me, the host. usually you run these things by the host before you just kind of start throwing in new sponsors. Tell me about them.
Yeah, but it would be kind of like if like John Walsh at ESPN hopped on the Fantasy Focus podcast and they were like, whoa, excuse me, sir. I don't know what you're doing in these offices. But
well, perfect comp. Anyway, tell me about Fantasy Factor. This is actually a legit thing because I actually didn't know about this before you said it.
You didn't know about Fantasy? Okay. So Fantasy Factor is a new DFS site. They're actually kind of interesting. They're guys that come from the online poker space, so near and dear to my heart. They've launched a new DFS product that, you know, is DFS like you picture it, with a few different advantages, I think. The first thing is the way they do their bonuses. So Fantasy Factor allows you to put your bonus directly into play, unlike a lot of other sites. So I think it's a minimum $10 deposit, and then you get $5. You can just go in and enter it right into a contest. If you win, great. Keep grinding. If you don't, no big deal. So instead of the classic sort of drip bonus that you see in most sites, mm-hmm. You can put it right into play. We're also working on some other stuff with them, possibly some DFSR-specific free rolls, you know, just a few other ways to partner with them more directly. But it's neat. And the other thing I think that really sets them apart is that, well, it's a lower trafficked site, but the way they've done their advertising is such, and the size of the contest is such, that you won't see a lot of the big name sharks on there. So you want to avoid some of the big name pros, especially the 50 entries and a single GPP sort of thing that you see all over the place in football. Fantasyfactor.com might be a good place to go. So
yeah, that's great. Is there like a bonus code that we need to enter, or?
Yeah, you can enter promo code DFSR. It doesn't actually give you any big deals, but it does help you get, you know, just it lets them know that people are hearing about them from us. So
beautiful, baby.
Appreciate if you do that for now. Yeah, and I also have another big announcement.
Go.
This is a big day. Listener email.
Whoa.
Two words. Damn it. I was supposed to say two words. Listener email. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, listener email. It's actually not an email. It's a chat. And I really apologize because I thought I wrote down this fellow's name. I think it was Anthony. Writes in last night and says, now that Michael Bourne has been traded to Baltimore, who will replace him as the most used reference to futility? Doug?
Oh, by me? Oh, because, well, this is a joke. by the way, this is in our chat room. We have a live chat room on the site where people are, I mean, this is 9:20 a.m. Eastern time right now, and there's a ton of people already in there talking about today's slate. And if you get in there around lineup lock and after, you basically just get to sweat out baseball all night with your online friends, and it's a pretty awesome thing. So the joke here being, if this is your first time listening, that I just think that the Diamondbacks are just about the worst team in the league and understanding what actually constitutes a good player. So I think my new thing here doesn't stray far from the Diamondbacks. Thankfully, the Diamondbacks have a bunch of these losers on their team, and they will just easily replace Bourne's ineptitude with guys like Chris Owings or Phil Gosselin or for some reason hitting guys like Yasmani Tomas and Willian Castillo against righties like high in the lineup. So actually, I don't think adventures.
All right, I'm already bad. I asked. Forget him. you already do have all your go-to guys.
It's just great that they're all just they do really do me a favor here by being concentrated all on the same team. They do themselves a little bit of a favor just by luckily getting AJ Pollock back and maybe being forced to hit Lamb higher in the order, but. I don't know, just jettisoning one loser from that team just doesn't, they needed to jettison most of the losers. Anyway, so thanks for the listener email. I have one for you, and this actually came from the chat this morning. I didn't know you were doing this new segment, but I like it. And the question here is actually from Mark Davis, and he says, or asks, are short slates better for GPPs or cash, referencing this three-game baseball slate today? So when you see a three-game slate like this, what are your first kind of thoughts for baseball specific? I think it's definitely sports specific for us, but for baseball in particular.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, I think. I mean, on a given day in baseball, when you're analyzing your chances for success in a given contest, I think that generally speaking, for big tournaments, you're really going to try and look for, you know, You're thinking on a stack basis, right? Like you're going to say, what team won't people stack generally that has the highest likelihood to put up a big total? So I'll not only get the big total, because in any given day in baseball, most teams can put up a big total if things break right. But also, like, who won't play them? On a small slate, I think that goes down kind of dramatically. Because, like, say you're playing the 7 o'clock slate tonight, you got three total games, and some fairly reasonable pitching. I mean, for a three-game slate, I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second. But so given that starting point, I think that the way I would adjust my approach on a night like tonight would be to say, like, okay, so I don't know if I really need to stack a given team, given that I just, like, there might just be no team with six total teams that really goes off and puts together a huge clustered run. So I don't necessarily think you especially don't need a double stack, for instance. I think, like, if you can find one good team to stack for value and then just fill in all the good value plays around them, that could be a reasonable strategy for GPPs. So it definitely changes a little bit in that getting a ton of separation is just a little harder anyway, and you just don't need to since the player pool is so much more limited. That's my general GPP sense. What do you think there?
Yeah, I think if you're using our, I'll reference it to our system here where we're pumping out, you know, where we can put out optimal lineups based on different criteria. I think you would just get that natural separation just by getting a little farther down the list, right? So, like, it stands to reason that for the most part, our system on a three-game slate, you know, the first couple lineups are going to be players that are just going to be highly owned in general because they're the better players, you know, assuming the prices all sort of match up. But
yeah, like our system's pumping out a natural sort of Cubs Mets stack right now.
Right.
You're not jumping out of your chair being like, I can stack the Mets tonight. But yeah, just given the matchup and the, you know, the left-handed bats and things like that.
Right. And, like, you know, it's putting out guys that are hitting, you know, top four in their order on, and that are basically all good, all decent hitters. But as you get farther down the list, you're getting guys that might be a little less owned. So, for instance, at the top, you know, if you look at FanDuel's first iteration of lineup, it has Rizzo at the top, which makes a lot of sense. The Cubs are, you know, a good team in a good park, and he's just the best overall first baseman that's going to be going on the slate. But then when you get down to lineup, like, say, 18 or 19, you get James Loney in there for the Mets. And, I mean, clearly Loney is not and it's not like an A to B swap where it just swaps in his salary, but you're just naturally fitting in different kinds of guys. And I think that is where you actually get your separation. Now, this is still early too. You know, we don't know what the lineups are going to look like. You know, a guy like that is like Jason Hayward too. He's not going to be as heavily owned. Maybe he's hitting sixth or seventh in the lineup. And maybe these guys are, this is where you get your separation rather than trying to just pinpoint, like you said, that one or two definitive stack that's going to come in. And actually, once you even get farther down this, and maybe you do add another stack in, where now you're going to get just the eighth or ninth hitter in a lineup, which for a tournament, you're not going to do that in a cash game, obviously, because if you don't need to, because you're just not going to get the plate appearance expectation. Right, but when you're defining that filter for the stack, maybe let's say the Twins in this case, now you're going to start getting, you know, down the lineup where those Logan Schaefers or, like, you know, Eddie Rosario types who are going to hit 7, 8, 9. And those just aren't going to be guys that the general player naturally defaults to. But now the system has you kind of throwing them in there based on it's just that's just the next guy up when it comes to the criteria and the overall yep. expectation. So I think that is where you, I think that's where you go, where you just run yeah. run a few more laps and just fair. and kind of mix and match guys, specifically in this case, that are hitting down farther down in the lineup, because those are just not guys that people tend to have their eyes moved to when they're thinking about who to play, especially because FanDuel and DraftKings, you know, will put that batting order number now next to the guys. And I know for us, it doesn't matter because it's already factored into our system, but for the general player that's not using a system or just kind of using his or her own eyes, they see, even those people will see 7, 8, 9 and just say, no, you know, and they'll make a decision going elsewhere. So I think that's where you get the separation.
I think that's a good call. Another thing you can do, I was just tinkering around with this system while you were sort of prattling on there. And,
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no offense. You know, just call it like I see him, Doug. I'm like one of those people, just a side note. If you ever find yourself saying like, I'm just really honest. So a lot of people think I'm kind of a dick, you know, because I'm just so honest all the time.
Bing.
Guess what? You're not actually honest. You know, you're just like,
a dick.
Chances are good you're probably not honest in other aspects of your life. You just enjoy kind of being a jerk. So
under the guise of honesty, under the guise of like, yeah, under the guise of relative honesty. Yeah, I see that.
Well, if you want to make sure you broadcast to me, if you say we ever meet in public, dear listener, you want to broadcast that we have nothing in common, say something like, I'm kind of a bitch, you know, I'm just like kind of a bitch. Or yeah, no, I'm kind of, you know, I'm just super honest. Like just, yeah, that'll let me know I should steer clear and head and talk to someone else. That being said, where was I?
I don't know. That took a weird turn.
Yeah. What? I'm not. Yeah.
It took a weird, angry turn that I'm actually like running through my head now. If we just rewind, you know, a minute and a half and just.
No, I think we stick with it.
Okay.
Just because I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, if we do a meet in public someday, I don't want them to make that crucial mistake when meeting me.
Well, I feel like now people are getting the real you, which I appreciate, which this
yeah,
doesn't always
true.
Come through. All right,
I'm
go ahead.
Like more say? Like the abusive,
just
sarcastic. All right, I'm going to talk now about baseball, fantasy style. The thing I was going to say for tonight in terms of getting a good GPP lineup in there, really interesting thing to do would just be exclude the Cubs. In our system, you only lose 1 point off your total lineup expectation just by Xing that game out completely. You see a lot more of the Twins guys slide in there. I think that's kind of that was a lot closer of a margin than I expected, frankly, just because so many of the Cubs guys are good plays. But on a short slate where it's not like they're in an ideal matchup necessarily, I think you can get away with doing some pretty funny stuff, because I bet that there aren't going to be many people. There's going to be essentially no one who's not specifically trying to do what you're trying to do, who just don't have any Cubs in there. And on a day where, like, you know, maybe Samardzija just is good for a day, you know, like he's got it in him, right?
Right.
You know, revenge game, as it were. You got a narrative there. I do think, though, that, you know, you can do little things like that. You can exclude the Cubs. You can exclude the Mets. You know, I wouldn't exclude both because you're starting to run out of players at that point. But yeah, just tinker around and try not to get too crazy, probably, because on a 3-game slate, there might be like 2 total home runs hit, you know, like there, you don't need to get all of the ace top tier guys. And to that end, I think like you talked about Logan Schaefer and kind of back lineup guys, they hurt you a lot less than a GPP with fewer players, just because, again, you don't need a home run from all 3 of your outfield slots to cash in a GPP tonight, probably. So, I would say you can be a little bit more conservative and also take different kinds of risks than you do in a normal slate.
Okay, with that being said, then what is the cash game? What's the cash game difference then? Like, if you know, we touched on, you know, maybe where to get a little separation naturally through, you know, through tournaments if you want to run. And by the way, just as a reminder here, when we're saying this, this tournament strategy, and people are always wondering, wow, I see the same kind of name showing up at the top of the tournament list. Well, this is because mass entry GPPs, if you're not aware that this is the way that you kind of have to roll, especially for baseball. I mean, really for every DFS sport, but I would say almost even more so for baseball because the quote unquote swings are so wild.
If this slate had, you know, 5x the games, like the maximum slate you could play, you would see the top pros running the same lineup with Granderson, and then the same lineup with Sano, you know, and then the same lineup with Hunter Pence, like all guys that are 3,200, just because they're all guys with reasonable expectations who could be decent, you know.
Right. So when we're talking about those, we're talking about, you know, if you have the ability or the bankroll or the stomach, really, and really to me, it's mostly just the stomach to be able to be able to stand the kind of variance that comes with this thing. But we're also talking about, like, this means putting in a bunch of different lineups. Like, you can't just to make one lineup that's like a little contrarian with a couple Twins guys at the bottom of the lineup, that's just not going to get it done. So I'm not really referring to just making one GPP lineup. I'm kind of saying, like, oh, you might want to put in like the top 50 lineups, but some people just aren't bankrolled to do that. And if you're not, then just play cash games. So let's move.
Humble brag.
Well, personally, I really don't do it either for this reason, because and I'm clear about this in chat. I play what I would consider to be, you know, a not insignificant amount of cash games on a given night, and I just don't really invest my time in tournaments for a couple different reasons. One being,
well, most of that is just because you spend so much time updating the system and staying on top of things and being accountable to our users. Whereas when we were, you know, when our software, for instance, wasn't to the point where we could do that, we would enter, you know, a lot. I don't have recite figures and feel like I'm bragging here, but like a lot of money into GPPs, especially in basketball and baseball and these higher variance sports. Also, just because you can kind of shave off some of your variance by entering a lot of GPPs, as weird as that sounds.
On the chance that you hit one of those top tier things, and then
you go extreme on it. If you have 100 entries each night, and that's how it's spread out, like, you know, the variance. Sure, you're only cashing 10% of the time in a GPP or whatever, but the high end of that is obviously quite a bit higher. And generally speaking, people make bigger mistakes in GPPs because they don't understand the right ways to get separations and or separation, and a lot of their lineups are just dead in the water. Like in a 100,000 person GPP, if you're not stacking, for instance, you've already lost generally. So, you know, I could go on in that sense, but you asked about cash games.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Why else don't you play GPPs?
Well, it was mostly that. It was that there's only so much time leading into lineup lock, and with our commitment to staying on top of the projections for the user, I just can't do that plus cash games plus run out 50 iterations of a lineup and make sure that I have them tweaked to the way I wanted to, even with being able to mass upload them, you know, through FanDuel and DraftKings software. So even with that in mind, which we have the ability to do, I still just don't feel like it wouldn't be for me money well spent to try to do all of those things at once, like answer questions in chat, plus update, plus do all the other little things that make it so that our users can get a good output. And then that's just kind of the first thing to go for me. And that's mostly where it starts and stops for me. Cash games go.
I'm with you. Cool. So let's dive into cash game strategy on a small slate. Now, on a high level, cash game strategy on a small slate does actually change quite a bit than a big slate, in that mistakes people are going to make are going to be bigger, generally speaking, because like I'll take a cherry pick an example from tonight, but you know, on a normal given slate with 15 games going, there are a lot of guys really clustered together in, like, say, the $3,200 range. I talked about an outfield, right? So tonight you've got Granderson, Sano, and Pence, and on a slate that's five times bigger, you'd have probably five times the options at that price point, right? So when you have five times more options, and say you just don't like Granderson, you saw him take a bad swing, or like, you know, whatever, he strikes out too much, you know, you have some reason to not like Granderson, even if he's the top guy in that price range on our system. Most nights you can go down and get, so he has 11.2 projected points. Most nights you can go grab a guy with 11.1 projected points. Well, today, if you want to jump down to Hunter Pence, well, now you're in 9.1 projected points. So now you're giving up two whole points just because basically your gut is telling you. And most players out there aren't going to have a sophisticated model that they're using to try and project these sorts of things. So normally speaking, they're going to be wrong anyway on a given day. But in this case, their mistakes get really magnified quite a bit. Now, tonight's slate happens to be sort of an odd one because I mentioned this earlier, but the difference between a lot of the potential plays actually isn't that great. So, you know, it doesn't reward being a conservative cash game player quite as much as a normal short game slate might. But generally speaking, you just go conservative here. You definitely don't need to worry about, I'm not going to play DeGrom because, you know, I'm going to go against the grain. Like, you just don't want to do that on a small slate. There's really just no reason to. Let the people who want to go against the grain pay the rake for everybody else and see if you can, if your chalk is better than other people's chalk, basically.
And DeGrom is clearly, I mean, we sort of touched on this, but DeGrom in this case is clearly the cash game pitcher for this slate, like especially on both sites, especially on FanDuel, where he's by far the highest money line guy. He's the best overall peripheral and skills guy. Miami's just a totally different team without Stanton. They just get such an implied run downgrade by just jettisoning him off because of injury. So a few other teams will have that kind of just fall off from one guy to the next guy that they could bring up, but Stanton's a pretty good example of it. So DeGrom is is the clear cash game play. Where the problem you have a little bit with DeGrom is the Mets are also probably the one of the better plays, and by putting DeGrom in your pitcher slot, you therefore subtract one Mets bat that you can play, because right. You're only able to get three of them now rather than the four. That could be a mistake some people make, where they're like, well, I got to get four Mets bats in because they're in the best spot against Urena, and now I want to switch to like a Mike Montgomery or something like that, which I think that would also constitute a pretty big mistake.
Absolutely, 100% agree. It's not a day where you want to. Today would be another thing about short slates is it's so much more expensive to take a cheap pitcher, as odd as that sounds, because there's so few big money bats that you can actually benefit from. So it's already a gamble, generally speaking. Like, say you went from DeGrom. I mean, there's just really no good options down here, but say you went from DeGrom and yeah, you just wanted to go pure punt on Mike Montgomery. Worst possible day to do that because the payoff of the bats is just simply not there.
Or you went like 300 down to get Quintana, let's say, on FanDuel. And, you know, Quintana's a real pitcher, I guess. Sure. And the Twins do strike out, but it's still a pretty massive downgrade for.
Yeah, and that would be just like a flat out mistake. You know, like you're just a misevaluation of top tier pitchers.
People will make this mistake. People will make this mistake for sure in cash games.
Oh, they will. They'll definitely make that mistake, but I'm saying more like at least that's just like that's a problem of player evaluation, not a problem of lineup creation process. Like there are days where we'll take a cheap pitcher in a cash game. Like we played David Phelps the other week and I think we were right to do so. But that's because then you can get Harper and Trout and, you know, Cabrera. Like today, who are you dancing in the streets because you're going to jam your lineup with? Like, you know, sure you can play Chris Bryant and Rizzo, but like Cespedes, you know,
right.
Dexter Fowler. Like you're just not, the payoff isn't there. So you cannot play Mike Montgomery on FanDuel. And that's, I'm putting my foot down about that.
No, I think I'm totally with you. You simply don't need the savings when the lineups are coming in sort of looking pretty good to start with very few, like little changes here and there along the edges. And the changes aren't much, you know, the outfield and most of the positions look pretty locked in now. You know, obviously we need to wait till batting lineups come out to really know all the truth in the matter. But for the most part, when I see things concentrated basically right now between a Mets and Cubs stack, and by the way, we don't have a Cubs line because it's just a day ending with Y. We don't have a Cubs line on the game yet for an over-under standpoint. It's -160 for the Cubs. I could see it probably being like 8.5. I haven't set it 8 now, but I don't think it's going to be lower than 8. So it would either be 8 or 8.5. I don't think it gets all the way up to 9, considering Samardzija actually, you know, is a guy-ish.
You know, I think it's in play. I mean, given Montgomery's, you know, sort of less than stellar track record as a starter, I think definitely a 9 line is in play. But yeah, it's not going to be a Coors line or anything like that.
And they wait for the wind directions to kind of set the lines there. It looks like from this, the wind is blowing in Chicago right now, which would probably depress it even more because that wind really does matter. And that's why these lines take forever to come out for the Cubs, because the wind is such a variable thing in Wrigley and you just need to know which direction is blowing. And right now, if I'm showing this correctly, it's blowing in today, which would strike me to probably coming in a little bit on the low side, though the Cubs just are the best overall talents, so it's not going to matter too much from the way we have it set now. Is there any other, you know, any other like individual players you're looking for? We mentioned the Cubs guys. We mentioned some Mets being interesting here against they have right now have the highest implied run line of the day, which is 4.4. So when your highest total run line for the day is less than 4.5, you can pretty much know what's going on here with the pitching, and there's no games. But are there any players, you know, sort of in and around the edges that we haven't mentioned that are maybe good one offs or make a case for another stack?
Sure. Well, I think that the Twins have a number of guys that are very, very big time platoon guys. Mm-hmm. And especially again on a short slate, that might be an edge you try to hunt down. So specifically I'm talking about Trevor Plouffe and Brian Dozier there. And then, you know, you can also grab Miguel Sano too if you want that additional upside. But all three of those guys have big time home run upside. All three could be considered, you know, excellent big tournament plays on a day like today. I think that, you know, while Quintana is definitely a good pitcher, he's been cast as this like ace level pitcher, and he's just not that. You know, he's got quite a low ground ball rate. His strand rate this year is way, way higher than normal. His BABIP is way lower than normal. So I think he's a pumpkin waiting to go pumpkin on people. And I think that all those right-handed bats in Minnesota are a great place.
One thing I think you could see happen on DraftKings today is, at least from our system, because I was just kind of messing around with excluding, like, if a player, if one of these bigger players were to sit today, one of these higher salary guys, bats, were to sit, I think it would be one time a situation that could come in where the cash game lineup just comes in well under the 50,000 mark, just because, like, let's say, just for sake of argument, like, let's say, like, Rizzo sat today. I don't think it's going to happen. But if he were to sit, there's just so few expensive players where, and Montgomery is only 4,000, which is, like, that's just a total crazy price.
And DeGrom's only 9,000.
Right, exactly. So if you thought that Montgomery and DeGrom were in the best spots today, which for that 4,000, you probably think he is, and then DeGrom is just like, that's a lock and load at 9,000. Where and a cheap bat came in toward the top of the lineup, like let's say like Tommy La Stella hit leadoff or the Cubs or something. You could see lineups coming in that 48,000 range, with leaving 2,000 on the table, and that would be a situation where it'd be really interesting because if people are in that situation, now they're thinking about, well, do I pay 4,000 for Montgomery or do I go all the way up to 10,700 for Quintana? And I think that would, like, where. And I actually don't have the definitive answer now, because if there were enough cheap bats, that actually just might be the raw points way to go. I'm not sure, but I think that could end up being an interesting situation were there to be a cheaper bat that replaced a more expensive bat, because there just really aren't that many on the slate.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Worth noting about Montgomery, I mean, we've talked about this before, how not all of those cheap, you know, bare bottom price guys are created equal. Montgomery was a legit prospect coming up with the Royals, you know, frequently ranked in the top 25 or so prospects overall. Cubs got him for a bucket of balls. He's interesting because he's not a big strikeout guy and kind of never has been, which has kind of, you know, dulled his prospect shine quite a bit and delayed his calls up to the majors, but really, really extreme ground ball pitcher. So right now, through 80 innings this season, 57.1% ground ball rate, very, very high compared to the league average. Possibly he's running a little hot on BABIP, but nonetheless, he's a real pitcher, and he might only go five innings, but for $4,000, you don't need a lot more than five innings, especially given that the Cubs are a fair favorite, you know, given the fact that he's a $4,000 pitcher.
And,
so.
And right now he is actually striking out almost a batter an inning, 8.5. But I always get a little worried about numbers like that because a lot of that was bullpen time. And
yeah, I was just going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, when you're coming in out of the bullpen, you're typically being put in like the best EV spots for you. And so
Exactly. He's facing a lot of right-handed batters and he can just go in and throw his hardest for an inning. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, lefty.
Lefty batters, right. Yeah.
He can go in there and just throw his hardest for an inning. Like, I don't trust those numbers at all. I'm going to go to the historical record there. I mean, you know, even last season with the Mariners, like, was a pretty good situation, and he was pretty underwhelming on the strikeout department. But, yeah, still a young pitcher. Could be fine.
In his starts, he is striking out probably more in the 7.5 batter per range. It's just
yeah, and that's in range to me. Right. That sounds like it could be who he really is.
All right. Hey, buddy. I think we did a three-game slate that looked like when we said at the top, like, boof, what are we going to talk about here? Are we going to be able to fill a whole podcast? Guess what? We're professionals, and we did it. And I'm really, really, really proud of us.
Someday we're going to look back on this day and just forget about it completely, probably. But
I'll forget about this by tomorrow.
Actually, hey, happy September. And one more thing.
Yeah.
Don't be one of those people who says, I'm really excited for fall. No, you're not. If you live on the East Coast, you're not that excited for fall. Summer's the best. I'm going to miss you, summer. And I'm feeling grumpy.
That's just like that's you talking yourself into a bad relationship. I've been down that road before. Like where you're just like,
exactly.
You're like,
I really love when the leaves change color. Well, okay, yeah, it looks sweet for 4 days, but like
I know,
it just gets cold. No one goes outside.
I know we fight a lot, and I know we always don't get along, but I can't imagine my life without her. It's kind of like one of those things. It's like you're just kind of talking yourself into it.
I would never want to live in San Diego. I know that much. I mean, geez, 85 degrees every day, the beach, give me a break. It would get old. No, it wouldn't actually.
And with that, we're from DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. Go to the site, check out the free content we have going up every day. We have NFL content already up there. We're actually recording an NFL podcast right after this. So NFL positional primers have been going up all week. We have some bankroll strategy stuff that you can look at to get yourself ready for NFL. We also have obviously 4 to 5 daily Major League Baseball articles going up. Really, if you need anything in the way of free content, head over to the site. And also when you're over there, go to /lab, L-A-B, for a free 10-day trial, or excuse me, now it's 9-day trial to the player projection system for MLB and NFL. And that also includes our brand new state-of-the-art player lab. So you get that for free through the first weekend of football. And then it's $29.95 a month after that. Covers all subscriptions under one umbrella. umbrella. Some sites like to section it off. We do not. You get it all for less than $30 a month, which we think is about as good a deal as you get in the whole industry. All right, buddy, we're going to go talk some NFL after this, and we'll be back again talking some more baseball tomorrow.
Yeah.
Take it easy, everyone.